Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 through 17. Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 through 17. We'll read this passage responsively. Luke 15, verses 11 through 17. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have fain filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And let's finish on verse 17 together. Ready? And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. And let's pray. Father, again, we're so thankful. Once again, the history of this place reveals that the preaching of the Word of God changes lives. And Father, we're in need of you to change our lives again today. We're a sinful people. We're a needy people. Father, please, there's no way that one human could reach the hundreds and hundreds of needs here. So please allow the Holy Spirit to work through our preacher in a special way today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I approach every church service with great reverence. There's somebody here today, though I don't want it to be this way, there's somebody here today that I'll never have another chance to preach to. As a result of that, it is urgent to me that I reach them while I can. I believe that we come to this church, and in every service, God salvages some portion of somebody's life. I don't want to miss that. I don't think we're here just as a social gathering. I'm not here to entertain. I'm here to do God's business. Oh, how churches and pastors have missed that. We're here to do business for God and with God, and in regard to that business that God would have us to do. I hope you'll listen today. I believe that someone's life depends on this sermon. I have a question for you this morning. It's a very personal question. It is this: have you ever been more spiritual than you are today? Have you ever been more spiritual than you are today? Are you at the top of your game spiritually? Are you at the top of your game in regard to reading your Bible? Are you at the top of your game in regard to your prayer life? Are you at the top of your game in regard to your commitment to God financially? Are you at the top of your game in regard to your soul winning? Are you at the top of your game in regard to your obedience to church attendance? Are you the best Christian that you ever been in your entire life? If you're not, then you're backslidden. You see, backsliding is not just going out into this vile, deep, wicked, nasty sin. Backsliding is you going backwards from what you once were for God. So the question to you is today, are you more spiritual this morning than you have ever been in your life? And if in whatever area you say, no, Brother Owens, I'm not, then you're backslidden in that area. And let me tell you what I think the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church needs this morning.
We need a touch of revival about the backsliding of God's people. So what makes you think that? What you were just thinking makes me think that. Because when I ask if you were at the top of your game, there's some of you said, nope, not of that. Nope, not in that area. Nope, not in that area. Your mental answer to my public question is the reason why I think we need revival. Even an old-fashioned, fiery church like this, the people can get backslidden. Backslidden. We have read a portion of a story this morning that is very famous. The story is called The Story of the Prodigal Son. Let me retell the story if I could. The Bible says that a man had two sons. The younger of the two sons decided that he wanted to leave home. He became rebellious toward his parents and he said, I'm leaving home. He said, give me what inheritance I can have. Give me what money I can get and I want to get out of here. And the Bible says that he grabbed up whatever money he could get from his mom and dad and this young man left town. He walked out. And the Bible says as he was leaving town, he was wasting money. You see, he had gotten a hold of a little bit of money. He was immature and he was now leaving the father. He was leaving home and on his way out, you could tell there were problems. And as he left town, he took this money. And the Bible says he began to waste this money that he had received from his father on riotous living. That's not righteous living, but riotous, like a riot. He was out there just wasting his money on worldly, wicked, wasteful things. The Bible says this young man, he goes out and he starts wasting the money his father has left him. He's not coming home at night. He's not coming home at night. He's not in his church like he ought to be in his church. He got his stuff and he left town and he's going to go live his way. He's going to do it his way. The Bible says in the country where this young man finds himself that a famine came to that land. Well, he'd been living it up, staying out late, doing his own thing, spending his money, living wild. I'm going to guess he was a drinking and a partying and doing the party scene. And next thing you know, a famine comes to that land. There's no job. There's no money. He looks in his wallet and realizes, I just spent all the money that my mom and dad gave me. Now I'm in trouble. I'll have to find a job. Everywhere he went, there was no job. There's not usually a job for those that quit school before they're supposed to. There's not usually a job for those that are in a rebellious, backslidden state to the point that they're unusable. And so here this guy is looking for a job. Finally, he found a farmer. The farmer had pity on him and said, look at this guy. He was a mess, didn't have any money. I mean, you could just tell by looking at the guy. He'd been partying, he'd been wild, he'd done wrong, he was depressed, he had a bad spirit. Everybody was starting to starve because there was no money, and the farmer said, boy, I'll give you a job, but I don't have any money to pay you, so what I'm going to do is I'll let you feed my hogs. You take the corn and the husks of the corn, you feed the hogs, and if there are husks left over, you can eat them. And we're not talking about him eating corn. Talk about that green stuff on the outside of the corn that covers it. He said, if there are any husks left over, you can eat that and see if that'll keep you alive. So here's this boy that's ran off and he's rebellious and he's wasted all of his money. He's away from home. He's away from the people that love him. He feeds the hogs and there happens to be a handful of corn husks left over. He goes back in the barn where he now lives. He uses a blanket of hay. He looks at those husks and his stomach's a growling and he's hungry. He takes a bite of that and begins to try to chew it. He looks over and looks at the pigs. They'd eaten both husk and corn. He asked himself, I wonder how long I can stay alive eating the husks. I think he begins to cry. The Bible says, as he sits there in that old barn eating the husks as payment, says he came to himself. He was there saying, this ain't right. I'm a mess. I'm embarrassed to admit it, but I'm a mess. What am I doing here? I'm living in a barn. I don't have any food. I don't have a job. I'm a filthy mess. I have no real friends. They partied with me till my money was gone. I'm just going to starve. I'm living with the pigs. He said, I'll tell you what. If I were back home, it wouldn't be like this. No, back home, even the people that work for my dad live better than this. You know what? I think I can go home. But Rogers, we might need to shut that door up there. Say, you know, I think we can go home. I'm going home. I am not living this way. Now, I don't know for sure how my mom and dad are going to react. But you know, if they'll only give me a little place to sleep on the floor in the house, I'm going home and I'm admitting to my dad I was wrong. But I'm going home. So he threw that old husk down, said goodbye to the pigs, shot up the road, all the way home. I'm sure he thought, what are they going to think? What are the people in my home church going to think? I'm so embarrassed. Look at me. I left and I just went out and bought me all them fancy clothes, but they've all been sold. So I had some food and I have a penny in my pocket. I'm filthy. I'm dirty. I haven't had a haircut in months. I don't have any money. I don't have any friends. I've not been able to shave. I'm a mess. Well, I'm going home. I don't know. I don't know how my mom's going to react. I don't know how my dad's going to react. And how are the people back at the church going to react? How's it going to be? There's a hill just between him and home. He knows when he comes up over that hill, he'll have a clear view of the lane that leads down to his house. The sun is starting to set. He said, oh my, mom's making bread. You smell it. Mama's making bread. He starts to walk a little bit faster. He stops right at the top of the hill and he thinks, boy, I don't know. My dad's going to be mad. My dad, I walked out on him. I left everything. I've left my father and I left my mom and I left my friends and I left what was right. What are they going to say? I'm going home. I'm facing it. I'm facing the music. And if Dad tears into me and he scolds me and I'm grounded for life, I'd rather be grounded for life in Dad's house than in that old pig tent. I'm going home. He comes up over the top of that hill. He looks down at that cabin and the lights are there and he sees the fireplace burning. The sun's setting. He looks on the front porch. And there's his daddy. His daddy's got one hand over his eyebrows like this, scanning the horizon. Because you see, every day at sunset, Dad went out on the front porch, scanning the horizon. So what was he doing there? He was watching for a boy to come home. The boy thought, I wonder what my dad's doing. He could see the silhouette of his father with the fire in the background and mama cooking, and he could smell the bread. He could see his daddy just looking in the distance. The boy started walking down the hill. All of a sudden, his dad started walking toward him. His dad looked up and he thought, somebody's coming, Mom. Mama, somebody's coming. It's him. Mom, it's him. Daddy took off running. The boy almost thought, uh-oh, I better run. He's got his belt on. I'm in trouble. The boy stopped. And Dad did this. Shut up. Come on to me. Come on to me. Come on home. I've been watching for you, boy. I've been watching you. Here comes a mama. She's got that old apron, and she's wringing it, trying to take it off. Mom's crying and bouncing and jumping, and she's still got dough all over her hands. They run out there and grab a hold of that boy. And the boy said, "Daddy, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I've gotten away from you." And Dad just wrapped his arms around him, picked him up and said, "You're home. You're home. I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting for you." Mama, she just stood there just going, and she just cried her eyes out. They went home, called everybody, said, "Hey, he's back. We're throwing a shindig. My son was washed, but he's back. He's back. He's back where he belongs." And I say to this great congregation of people, as your pastor, I already know there are people throughout this auditorium, you're not where you ought to be. And I'm not here to scorn you. I'm here to say, come on. Come on back to your Heavenly Father this morning. Come on back. Your God wants you to come back. And you remember, my friend, backsliding is not just this issue of you totally leave God and you're in vile, deep, dark sin. All sin is deep and dark. Some of you have just gotten away from God and you're not where you ought to be, and that qualifies for backsliding. Some of you here have run away from your Heavenly Father. You're running away from holy living. Some have ran away from decisions that you've made for God. Now, you can backslide from any level in Christianity to any level. Are you as spiritual as you have ever been? And if not, then you qualify. I believe that the prodigal son, on his way back to God, he encountered a few surprises along the way. And I think that if we'll examine the story of the prodigal son, I have some things that might surprise you about the Scripture and the surprises of the prodigal son. He was away from God, but suddenly God moved in and God started bringing him back. And there are some wonderful things that you might encounter as well on your trip back to where you ought to be with God. Hey, and do me a favor, my friend. Do me a favor. I want this to be a very personal sermon. Don't shut me off. To everybody sitting in this section, are you as close to God as you've ever been in your life? If not, you're backsliding. Hey, don't get mad at me about that. I didn't cause you to backslide. How about the people in this section? Are you the soul winner you once were? Are you as close to God as you've ever been in your life? Are you in your Bible to the extreme that's ever existed in your life? Are you faithful to church like you've never been before? Are you close to God like you've never been in the balcony? The choir. The staff. That's between you and God. But you know the answer. One of the things that troubled people about my preaching so much is, you can tell I mean it. I'm not playing religion. There is a God. That book is true. And you and I are to be His servants. And if you're saved here today, you're not to be backslid. You're to be at the top of your game. Hey, when the prodigal was sitting in that pig pen, there are some surprises that he encountered. Let me tell you what they were. I think one of the surprises of the prodigal son was that that all of his notions about getting away from home and having a big time, they turned out to be a lot of nonsense. Slipping away from God did not turn out the way that he thought it would. The Bible says in Luke 15:17, "And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's had bread enough and to spare, and I perished with hunger. The Bible says here, he came to himself. This service is a come to yourself service. This sermon is a come to yourself sermon. You say, what do you mean? What I mean is this, the Holy Spirit of God has already reached down into your heart and said, he's talking to you. It means you need to come to yourself. It means you need to face yourself. It means you need to come eyeball to eyeball with the truth about yourself. The Bible says the prodigal son was sitting there eating the husks from which the hogs did eat. And as he put that husk in his mouth, he said, wait a minute. What am I doing? What have I become? What's going on? What have I allowed to happen in my life? Means he woke up. He woke up to what his leaders had been telling him, that which he had not listened to, that caused him to be in this mess. At first he thought he was playing it smart. At first he thought he'd play a little hide and seek with God, but he found out it hurt him. I remember when I was working in the Chicagoland area as an assistant pastor, Brother Bush, you'll remember this first name. There was a teenage girl that we worked with in our Bible club. Her name was Charlotte. I remember one day, Charlotte had been coming to church very faithfully, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I remember when Charlotte's grandmother, she lived with her grandmother, a lady by the name of Sylvia. Sylvia called me weeping, and she said, there's a note here. Charlotte has run away. What am I going to do? Here was a lady that was in her upper 60s trying to rear a teenage girl that she loved very much. And that teenage girl had ran away from home. She left a note that says, don't try to find me. I ran away. Grandma had checked her savings account and found that Charlotte had withdrawn all $500. This girl was 15 years old in Chicago running away. I don't know that there's any good place to run away, but you don't want to run away where wickedness is at an extreme. 15-year-old girl ran away. We went there. We waited. We prayed. We waited. We prayed. She was gone overnight. The next day, again, the phone rang and Grandma said, she's called. She's coming home. I was there. I watched a taxi cab pull up out front. I watched Charlotte look to see how Grandma was going to react. Grandma popped the door open. That saintly old gray-haired woman began to hobble down the stairs with her arms wide open saying, come here, baby, come here. Charlotte jumped out of the car and ran over to her mama. Or her grandma and grandma said, you could have been killed. You could be dead. And Charlotte said, Grandma, it looks so good. But it wasn't. It wasn't. I don't want to come home. And she said, you're coming home, baby. I watched them as they wept in one another's arms and went back in the house. Let me tell you something. It may look good wandering away from God, but it never turns out good. Hey, and if you began to wander, let me tell you, at the end of the road, there is going to be heartache and there is going to be pain. Come on back to God. Come on back to God. I believe the prodigal was surprised when the prodigal began to realize, hey, this isn't all what I thought it was going to be. This is not really what I thought it was going to be. It didn't turn out the way that I thought it would turn out. I'm going to tell you, some of you that are prodigals, you'll wake up one day and you'll realize, hey, what the preacher had been telling you, it was right all along. And I'll guarantee it. I will go to the bank on it. There are people in this room who have been told not to go the path you're going. You're going to go it anyway. Your heart will be devastated and broken someday. The prodigals always eventually wake up and say, you know what? They were smarter than me. They knew better than me. I shouldn't have gone down this path. Be sure the devil makes sin look real good at the beginning, but it always comes out real bad at the end. He blinds you to the truth about your journey away from God. Hey, many backsliders don't even realize the path that they're taking. They're blind to it. It's like this morning, I asked you a simple question, but a very piercing question. Are you as close to God as you have ever been? And if not, you're backslidden. You say, I don't like that, Brother Owens. Me neither. Me neither. But are you blind to it? Are you blind to your spiritual condition? That's what the devil does with backsliders. Whatever the sin is in your life, come to yourself. Come to yourself. That's what the prodigal son did. He came to himself. Come to yourself. Admit you can't see tomorrow. Come to yourself. You need to come to yourself and realize what the Bible says is true and it's right. You need to come to yourself. You need to come to yourself and realize, hey, the old time religion is not as dumb as what you thought. Come to yourself and realize you're not serving God like you could and like you used to. Wake up, backslider. Shake yourself. Stop now. Turn around. Head back toward the spiritual highlights of your life. Don't deny your condition. Don't avoid this truth. Pull off your blinders. Look yourself right square in the eye and say, there are areas in my life I'm away from God, and today I will face it and I'll come back to the Father. And the Heavenly Father says, come on. You see, one of the surprises of the prodigal son, that surprise was that he came to himself. You say, how is that possible? The Holy Spirit of God. You see, he belonged to the Father's family. He had the Holy Spirit of God inside him. And there was a point when he was shaken and he realized where he was. Let that be right now. Let that be right now. This sermon, this church service. Secondly, there's another surprise. He was surprised that he could rise up and he could get away from his backslidden condition. He could rise up. He could do it. The Bible says in Luke 15:18, he says this, the prodigal, I will arise and go to my father. I will arise. You see, he's sitting in a hog pen. He's away from God. But the Bible says he came to himself. He faced the fact he was backslidden. And then he said, I will arise. And he did. If you're backslidden here today, let me tell you something. If you will come to yourself and you will admit, I am backslidden. I am backslidden. Can you say that in your mind? You don't have to say it out loud. Will you please, I beg of you, Christian, tell the truth to God. In your brain, right now, say it. Lord, I am backslidden. Then, if you will say, I am backslidden, you can arise. He did. He did. You say, what gave him the strength? Look, if he humbled himself enough to say, God, I'm away, then God was able to come and say, well, Ev, I'll help you get back. If you're willing to admit that you're away, then I'll assist you in coming back. And the Bible says he came to himself and he arose. He arose. He realized, I can get away. Philippians 4:13 says to a Christian, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You can do anything God wants you to do. Some of you need to come to yourself and say, that's it. I am getting away from my sin. I'm going to get close to God. Hey, it's time for some of you to rise up. Rise up from the pig pen. And I'm not just talking about the pig pen of your adulterous, wicked, filthy, drug, and booze in life. That's not what I'm talking about today. There are very few people here that live that kind of lifestyle. I'm talking about the areas where you're backslidden. Why don't you face that thing and say, I am backslidden, but I will arise. I'm coming back. It's time for some of you to make the comeback. Make the comeback. Some need to say, I'm putting that old life behind me, even if you have to say, I'm putting it behind me again. Rise up. Try again. Separate yourself from those things that will destroy you. You need to come back to God. And don't let the devil psych you out. The devil comes to you and says, you can't do it. He's a liar. You can do it. See, Brother Owens, I just don't think I can make it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Said, well, I can't do it by myself. Good. You don't have to. You have the help of an almighty God. You've got the help of your preacher. You've got the help of a congregation of people who are working at coming back themselves. You can do it. You can do it. It's time for some of you to get on the top of your spiritual game and quit playing around. You're fiddling with your Christianity. Hey, good Christians, they want to help you, but don't be blinded by Satan. Get more serious than ever before. Rise up. Rise up, Christian. Rise up against yourself if you have to and do right. Rise up against Satan and do right. Rise up to the sin that has blinded you. Rise up to whatever is holding you back and get it fixed. Don't stay down. I'm telling you, I wish I would have been there the day that that old boy was sitting there in the hog pen. I really do. I wish I would have been there as he was sitting there. He was eating those husks. Had I been there, I would have known what he was thinking. Oh. Well, should I go home? Or should I stay here? Should I go home to the Father? Or should I stay here? Can I do it? Or will I stay here? Had I been there, you know what I would have said? Get up! Get up! Rise up! I know the rest of the story. Dad's waiting. You can do this. Rise up! Rise up! Rise up, young man! Rise up and get headed home. Listen, he came to himself, and then he arose. That's how you come back from your backslidden condition. You can get out of the pig pen. And again, I'm not just talking about what we call the backsliding into the deep, vile, wicked sins of this life. It's just how far away from God are you? That's the issue here. But you can get out of the pig pen. Hey, do you know what do you call a pig's favorite karate move? Pork chop. It's true. What do? I come to myself. I face it. After I face it, I say, I will rise up. I will rise up. What was another surprise of the prodigal son? Well, he was surprised that the father was looking for him and saw him afar off and understood his troubles. It says in Luke 15:20, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. See, on his way home, this kid, I'm sure, wondered, well, what's Dad going to think? Dad, he wasn't sure how he's going to be received. But what he did not know, and one of the things the devil will blind you to when you are backslidden, he'll blind you to the fact that your heavenly Father is anxiously awaiting your return. Hey, Dad was there, ready to run and meet him. Dad had compassion on him. Dad kissed him. The backslidden always wonder, how will they be received by the Father? Let me tell you something. You just come on back to your Heavenly Father. He's waiting on the front porch of God's will. He's just waiting, doing this. Come on. Come on back. So you come to yourself, you rise up, and just stop and realize God's waiting for you to come. You remember that young lady that I told you that ran off with $500 in the city of Chicago? Teenage girl. I'll never forget when she got out of that taxi, I watched her grandma run toward her, and I watched Charlotte run toward her grandma, and grandma, I don't think grandma heard hardly anything that Charlotte was saying, because grandma was just so happy that Charlotte was home. And let me tell you something, when you come to the Heavenly Father, He is excited that you come back. God's not mad at you. Now, you're not supposed to be living in sin. And you're messing up your life. The issue is God loves you so much, and you are messing up your life so bad, your daddy is back saying, please stop doing that to yourself. Oh, you've hurt yourself again. Oh, another bad decision. Oh, you're getting further and further away. And he's waiting for you to turn around and run toward home. He'll grab you up and say, oh, you're safe again. Because God cares about your safety. Hey, God's expecting some of you this morning. God is standing on this altar. And there are all sorts of people in this section, and this one, and this one, and this one. And all sorts of people in this section, and that balcony, and this choir, and on this platform, that are away from God. And God is waiting at this altar this morning doing this. He's just waiting. At this altar. You see, come home. Why? You'll be safe. In your Father's arms. God knows that Satan is trying to destroy you. And Jesus is waiting at the front porch of God's will, just crying to you, come home! Come home! Come home from your sin! Come home from your bitterness! Come home from your lack of prayer. Come home from your lack of Bible reading. Come home from your lack of soul winning. Come home from the wrong music. Come home from not tithing. Come home from wrong relationships with mom or dad. Come home from your marital mess that you've created for yourself. Come home from your rebellion. Come home from your unfaithfulness to church. Come home. Come back to church on Sunday night. Get back in church on Wednesday. Get back into your Sunday school class. God knows your sin. He understands it. And this is all He wants. He just wants you to come home. What do you do? Well, first of all, you better come to yourself. Then you can rise up. Then all you have to do is you just look and you'll find out that God is waiting for you to come home. That's what He wants. Hey, the good Christians in our church are waiting for you to come home too. You say, well, Owens, I need to get right with God. I'm so far away from God. What will the other church people think? Any church person in this church that is a decent Christian will cheer for you when you come back for God. And all the ones that turn their nose up and say, well, we'll see how long this lasts, or I can't believe they're coming back. They are not good Christians. They are not the good people in our church. Don't worry about them. Don't worry about them. They need to be the first ones to hit this aisle, hit that altar, and get themselves right with God. Oh, you critics of the people that would like to come back to God, you better just keep your mouth shut and you better make sure you leave them alone. God wants them to come home. God wants them to come back. Come to yourself. Rise up. God is waiting. We want you to come back to Him. They wanted the prodigal to return. You know, when the prodigal is away, he hurts the family. Hey, if you're a prodigal today, you're hurting your church family. You get right with God. You get it right with God. Let me tell you, prodigal, you have no right to hurt the church family. You have no right to hurt the church spirit. You have no right to hurt the church testimony. You have no right. You're a part of a family here. How embarrassing for that other brother. You think about the other brother that stayed home, had two sons. When he went to church, everybody said, your brother ran off. Think of mama. Think of how embarrassed she was. Think of that. You listen to me, prodigal. I'm not here to hurt you, but do let me tell you the truth. You have other brothers and sisters, and you're hurting them. Hey, you need to come home. They're for you. We want you to come home. We want you to get right with God. There was another surprise that we see here. Not only could he come to himself, shake himself, wake up, face himself. He could rise up then. And then he could watch for the Father to come and wait for him. Fourthly, his Father loved him so much that he forgave him and restored him. The Bible says here in Luke 15, verse 20 through 22, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. He came to himself. He said, I have been rotten. I'm not right with God. And I got to get out of here. And God said, well, then get up. And he said, okay, I'll arise. And I'll go home and I'll face the music no matter what it costs me. But he was surprised to find out his dad was waiting on him. And not only was his dad waiting on him, his dad was ready to forgive him and to restore him and give him another chance. Some of you need to come back to God and let God give you another chance. Let him give you another chance. It does not matter what sin you have committed. You can come back to God. God will forgive you of your sin. You just come down here, get on your knees, and say, Father, forgive me. God, forgive me. And He will forgive you. Hey, you say, but how will my youth director feel about me? He'll love you. He'll forgive you. You say, how will my school teachers feel about me? They'll love you and they'll forgive you. How will my principal feel about me? He'll love you and forgive you. How will my Sunday school teacher feel about me? He'll love you and forgive you. How will the good Christians in the church feel about me? They'll love you and they'll forgive you. How will the preacher feel about you? I will be so happy. I would love from the depths of my soul to see some of the people in this congregation get rid of your pride, come to yourself, walk down the aisle, get on your face and get right with God. I have prayed. I have begged. I have lost sleep over this thing, trying to figure out what to do. Come to God, I beg of you. You're going to mess up the church. Get right with God. I beg of you. We're for you. We want you to. The question is not our part.
Question is, do you want to come back to God? Don't you tell me anybody here's stopping you. No way. I keep this old ship tuned up way too well for that. Problem is, you don't want to come back. Oh my. His father was healthy and willing to help him rebuild his testimony. It may take a little time, but we could get this boy back in the family business. Hey, backslidden one. Hey, you let us help you. You come and get the forgiveness, and you know what we could do? We could find you someday. Maybe you could teach a Sunday school class or work on a bus route. Hey, you could. You could. I'm not a blacklist preacher. I don't blacklist people. Because if we all got what we deserve, we'd all be on God's blacklist. Because not a one of us deserve to serve the God of the universe. Not a one of us have any merit on our own. But let me tell you something. I've got a good God. I serve a God of a second chance. And if you'll come back to God and get right with God and you get it straightened out, we'll help you be usable again. It may take a while, but we'll do it. Another surprise of the prodigal is when he got home. Had a hard time believing. Everybody was so happy about it. Bible says the father said, "My son's home. Call everybody. We're going to throw a party. We're going to put a nice piece of clothing on him. We're going to give him a nice ring. We're going to have some..." Well, in this time they had a fatted calf. In our day, be a nice, fresh piece of venison. Big old roast. Chop that thing up. Hey, you don't need to fear what other good Christians will think. Just make your decision for God and come back to Him. The good Christians will rejoice with you. Don't fear what they think. Just come back. Just come back. I remember I was at a revival meeting. I was just a kid. I was sitting all the way in the back. The church, I kept hearing the pastor say little things about people getting right with God. I watched one family at the altar call that night. A whole family came down to one side. They were all there and they were weeping and crying and praying. Someone told me they had a backslidden family member that was away from God. Brothers and sisters and moms and dads and aunts and uncles congregated there and prayed. I've never seen anything like it. Night number two. I watched the altar call given. I watched that family come down here. They got at the altar and they prayed. You knew there was something going on there. It was like that all week long, the very last week, the very last night of the revival. The preacher got up and he preached about the prodigal and getting right with God. I watched it. I watched that whole family during the altar call come down here and begin to pray. I did not know it. There was a man that came into the service late. I was sitting all the way in the back. That man came into the service late. Nobody knew he was there, but maybe me and the preacher, and the preacher was from out of town. The man sat right by me in a pew in the back. The altar call was given. His whole family came down here weeping and crying and begging God for something. All of a sudden, this guy beside me, he stepped out. He said, "I'm going forward." He went forward. He went down there. He got on his knees at the back of that crowd praying. They're all praying, "Oh God, help my brother to get right with God. Oh God, please bring him back. His life's a mess, please." This old boy, he's on his knees there. I don't know if anybody knew what was going on. But he said, "Joe, I'm here. I'm right behind you guys." All of a sudden, one family member turned around and said, "He's here! He's here!" That old family, you would have thought he just scored a touchdown. The women, everybody just started jumping on him and praising God. He said, "I'm coming back to God tonight. I'm coming back to God." I watched that old family as they all wept. I've never seen anything like it before. I mean, they were standing down there and hugging each other and saying, "Praise God." I'm not talking about some weird movement of the Spirit. I'm talking about God restoring a sinner. I'm talking about a family that wanted it done so bad. They would not eat. They could not sleep. They prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed to get over the sin in their life. And there he was. Whoa! I've seen it happen firsthand. There's a lot of rejoicing. On the way home, I wonder what that boy was thinking. "I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home, coming home, coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home. Young man had ran away from home. Many of you have heard the story. Young man had ran away from home, been gone for a long time. Finally, one day, he was in the pig pen of the world. He was saved, but he was so backslidden, it was pathetic. In the pig pen of the world, he picked up an ink pen, and with his last quarter, bought him a stamp, wrote a note to his daddy and said, Daddy, I want to come home. I want to come home on such and such a day. I'm going to be on the 4 o'clock bus, Dad. Dad, I don't have an address where you could write me back. I'm using my last quarter. I got a bus ticket in my pocket. I'm using my last quarter to send you this letter. And Daddy, if you want me, when I come home, when the old bus passes by our farmhouse, you just tie one of your white hankies in the oak tree out front, let it hang there by the bird feeder. And Daddy, if I see that hanky, I'll know you want me to come home. And if it's not out there, Daddy, I understand. I'll just stay on the bus, and I will roll on. Boy on the way home was telling the other people on the bus. People on the bus said, don't you worry, boy, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Whole bus knew the story. He said, just around this corner up here. They pulled around the corner. He said, this is my daddy's property right here. Just beyond that cornfield, you're going to see the old tree I'm telling you about. They passed that last little bit of corn, and in that old oak tree, there must have been 200 of Dad's hankies hung in that tree, waving. 4 o'clock, Dad was on the porch with a hanky. Mom was on the porch with a hanky. All his brothers and sisters and the preacher was on the porch with a hanky. You got a hanky with you? You got a hanky with you? Some of you guys never blow your nose. That's your problem. Let me tell you something, my friend. I don't know who you are, but God does. The Holy Spirit of God does. I'm telling you, as sure as I'm sitting here, I know this is a sermon for the day. I know. When God met with me about this, He said, that's the one. Today, I want you to know your Heavenly Father's at the altar stand. Come on. Come on. Come on, please come back. Come on. Come on. You're not what you should be. You know, hey, listen, folks. I've heard your stories about what you used to be. God's not interested in what you used to be. He's interested in what are you right now. Come on. Come on. Come on back. Come back to God this morning. Come back. Because He's waiting at this altar with open arms and a handkerchief. The old oak tree of God's forgiveness is full of your Heavenly Father's handkerchiefs this morning. You know, I'm not real sure I'm preaching this sermon to the worst backsliders in our church. No. I'm preaching it to some people who have very casually backslidden. Nobody really even knows but the Holy Ghost. And now, you. Coming home. Coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. Somebody is coming home in just a moment. I have that assurance in my heart. I hope it's you.